Welcome to Hey You Know It. I'm Jaquetta Santmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Casimir.
And this is episode 14, The Dirty Nude Flash Mob. So this is from the Daily Metro. It says there's a picture of a person holding a cockroach.
It's disgusting.
Which is disgusting. But it says students at Cooper Union installed wires onto 3-inch cockroaches to get them to scurry and dance to electronic pulses and music.
What bastards? I don't like a cockroach, and I'll go out of my way to avoid them and even kill them, but to torture them and make them dance for your pleasure?
My problem with this is that 3-inch cockroaches? That's the problem. That's the problem for me is 3-inch cockroaches.
Yeah.
This is disgusting. This poor thing, which I would gladly squash, but now I feel bad for it because it's in some kind of
experiment. Now you feel sympathy because of these students trying to...
Maybe they enjoy the dancing. And how do they know that they're scurrying to the beat, as it were? So, yeah, I just think it's weird. But it definitely caught my attention. So, in a way,
It's mean to do that in the... Where are they doing this? In the subway?
Cooper Union. In the university. What do you mean? Look, if I saw this in the subway, the last thing I want to see is a bunch of roaches kicking it to the beat.
Okay. Like, that's what I for some reason I had it like Union Square.
No,
station,
Cooper Union.
They
Cooper
were
Union.
Off to the side and making them dance for your pleasure. Maybe a buck would be thrown in your direction, their direction.
I feel like if the military gets a hold of this, I don't know what they will do. I feel like the military are the only people that could use something like this.
Yeah, no kidding. The flash mobs are making the news again in Philly.
In Philly, yeah. I was in Philly last summer for my birthday, and I was terrified that a flash mob might set upon me and my husband while we were there.
They're terrible there. They're violent. They're dangerous there. But I started thinking about flash mobs and who started them.
The Danish?
No, it was here in Manhattan. I gotta tell you, the first flash mob was in 2003.
Okay.
And they had a bunch of people show up at Macy's department store.
Of course.
In the rug department on the 9th floor. And 130 people showed up, and they were instructed to converge, gather around an expensive rug.
Okay.
And then when a sales assistant came by, they were supposed to say that they lived together in a warehouse on the outskirts of New York, and they were shopping for a love rug. And they made all their purchase decisions together.
130 people?
Yes.
Did they film it?
I don't know if they filmed it, but they did it.
See,
that's hilarious.
If that's the way it started with a bunch of, you know, merry pranksters pretending to buy a rug in Macy's, and now it's, you know, roving utes.
You know, the idea of a flash mob, though, is to assemble, you have to be in a public place,
okay,
do something bizarre, and then disperse. But the thing is, one person, you get a group of people there, and I've watched a bunch of different flash mobs that they filmed in. One person starts off with this, either a song or a bizarre activity or a dance. And it's like, what? And then 3 people join into that. And then 10 people join. And then 50 join. And then you get the whole flash mob going. What if that first person, the idea of the flash mob was just to make that one person do something and everybody knew not to join in?
It's just one person doing Thriller all by themselves.
Right. And then
in
he's
Grand
like,
Central.
You know, getting flop sweat. Like, this is supposed to be everybody.
Would you ever take part in the flash mob? I don't think I would.
I don't think I would. There was one, the silent disco, where everyone showed up with their iPods with the same song, and they all danced a choreographed dance to their own music that they could hear.
Okay.
But
did they dance all together?
Yeah. Synchronized.
Okay. Who has the time? I don't have the time for a flash mob.
But
I want to know what's the progression from a bunch of people getting together in a Danish train station and doing a techno dance to gangs of youth roaming the streets of Philadelphia. They set upon a man. And it actually said set upon. They, like, beat up some guy in Philly.
Well,
that was the flat... Like, that was... I guess they were texting, like, okay, we'll all meet at the corner of South Street and such as they want to beat the out of whoever's there.
But how do you get some people to do this? I can't even get, like, a party together. People don't even come to my house.
It's young people. It's young people.
But even, like, really, if you're a young person even, like, who are you going to listen to? You know, if you're going to...
I don't know. I mean, there's some kind of, like, Twitter Pied Piper out there that is leading these youths to ruin, basically.
If you have an idea for a flash mob, you must be pretty charismatic.
Yeah, a Fagin. That's what I'm thinking. Some kind of, like, evil Pied Piper. So speaking of flash mobs, I have something to go with it. I didn't know you were going to bring that up, but I got this from the Wall Street Journal, as I get all my news from them. And it's Wall Street sees nudity, comma, arrests.
What?
So the disrobing was a part of a 5-minute public art performance.
Oh, get out.
Called The Ocular Patient Wall Street. It involved 50 actors impersonating Wall Street workers. So janitors, street vendors, prostitutes, stock traders. And it was created by this artist. There were 50 actors.
With the actors dressed up as regular people. Down in the
Wall
Street area.
People who would be on the street.
Okay.
And they were naked for part of the performance. So they came out for 2 minutes. They did their regular thing. They mimicked the workers. They took their clothes off. They were naked for a minute. They put the clothes back on for 2 minutes.
And that was it.
That was the piece. And the piece is supposed to be about the lack of transparency on Wall Street.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like it. Nicely done.
Sadly, 3 people were arrested.
Oh.
But the question is, why just 3 people? Everyone got naked. But only 3 people.
They were the slowest runners.
Two men and 1 woman.
Oh, come on. Why are you arresting the woman?
I have no idea. She was just topless, which, by the way, is not illegal in New York.
Right. Right. Oh, she should protest. She should get Greg Zenon,
attorney at law, to cover her, I guess. I just think it's interesting. I like these kind of art things. I used to work on Wall Street. I wish I'd seen that. I bet you the traders were into it. They're probably taking bets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like they always do.
I think it's awesome. Good for them.
Good.
But this is my thing. Like, when I worked down on Wall Street, there was so much security there. I'm like, you guys didn't see that? Like, you didn't... 50 people got nude?
It can't control the public.
No, you can't. I think that's the message of the speech. It's not about transparency. It's that you can't stop people from breaking into Thriller.
Right.
I would like to be in a Thriller flash mob. You know,
well, not the one in the prison that they did.
That one was good.
But that's not a flash mob. No. Those are prisoners dancing.
That's enforced.
Yeah.
So calisthenics.
Let's distinguish that, people. Don't think that a flash mob takes place in prison.
Yeah, don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake.
We're going to meander over to Celebrity Corner.
Okay. Fantastic.
This segment is called Discount Celebrity. So if you can't get your ideal celebrity, there's always a discount version that you can get for much, much less, especially in this economy.
Yeah. We're all about saving money in this economy.
And we like saying in this economy, too.
In this economy.
Because you can't use that phrase enough. You haven't heard it enough since 2008.
Well, know that it's over when people stop saying in this economy. When things have gotten better. That phrase, and they'll be like, in that last economy.
Yeah. But not in this economy now, which is good.
So I have Daniel Craig.
Ooh, I love Daniel Craig.
And Jason Statham. So we're going to find out which one's a discount. But
Daniel Craig,
young man, born in 1968. He's 5'10". And before he came to Hollywood fame, he was actually a legitimate thespian in England.
How
did you know that?
Dare he?
He was all over the place.
Really?
Yes.
So was he like on the London stage and he was the one like Patti LuPone that you would go to see?
Yeah. He was like doing Shakespeare, all kinds of stuff.
Really?
And then he got to be James Bond, which I'm sure you saw.
Oh, of course I did.
So that's our first.
The blonde Bond.
Entree to him. Yeah, the blonde Bond, which I wasn't that crazy about. I'm more of a Sean Connery kind of person myself.
No, I'm not at all. Daniel Craig, and I don't like blondes, even though I am blonde. I don't like blonde men. Sorry.
He is...
No, I'm not going to apologize.
Wait, is he actually blonde in this picture?
He doesn't look blonde.
Really?
Yes. He may have, like...
You're being generous and giving blonde a wide berth here.
It could be, like, that color that he has, maybe, like, the golden wheat field blonde, but he's blonde.
He also has a golden wheat field tan in this picture.
I like that. I like his eyes.
But, so he's been in Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace. Did you see that?
I saw that, too, yeah.
Was that good?
That was good. I like... They were in Vienna in that one, right?
I haven't seen it, because I don't... Munich, which I didn't see.
No.
And something called Layer Cake. And he's just holding... He's holding a big gun in every picture. Now, Jason Statham, 1967. He's also from the UK. And he says here, or his publicist says that he is 5'9". And I say bull...
I say...
There is no way on earth he is... I've seen so many movies with him. He's looking people in the Adam's apple.
So how many inches do you have to take off for an actor when they say, when they're in the 5-something range, in between 5 feet and 6 feet, and they say they're 5'10", are you going to, how many inches do you subtract?
I'm saying 3 to 4.
3 to 4?
I'm saying that he is probably 5'6".
Okay.
Because 5'6" is what men say when they are 5'2". Mm-hmm. And okay. It's strange because it's like, well, we see you.
Yeah.
You know, we know how tall you are. You're not going to get away with it, Tom Cruise. So, Ben Stiller.
So we take off 3 to 4 inches for anyone under 6 foot.
Yes, okay. Take it away. So I like him anyway because I like a small guy. I like Jason Statham. He was in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Crank 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5. He is an action hero. This guy's all over the place. He was a swimmer for a while. He was a championship diver. And then he went into martial arts. And every film that he does is absolutely ridiculous. He was in The Untouchables or something like that, or The Unmentionables, whatever.
The Unmentionables.
A movie with
the
tons
Victoria's
of people.
Victoria's Secret.
The Unmentionables.
Story.
He's always holding two guns and being blown forward and to the side, and that's all I want in an action movie.
So you prefer him, like, running and then shooting to the side
yeah.
and then going the other
no,
way?
No, getting blown away, like, from a blast. But still, guns blazing.
I thought you meant, like, running and then jumping to, shooting and jumping
no,
to
no,
the
no,
side.
No. I like him to be blown to the side.
Oh, by an explosion,
yeah.
of course. I've got it.
So okay. that's what I like in a Statham movie, and he always does that. His martial arts are decent. The only problem
decent?
Is...
Decent? What is the grade scale for martial arts?
Bruce
sucky,
Lee.
Sucky?
Jason
good,
Statham.
Decent?
Decent.
Cool?
Cool. Awesome? Kick-ass.
Okay.
So, he is decent. He is
those
decent.
Those are the belts now.
Yeah. Instead of belts, we're going to have that. He's decent. The problem with Jason Statham, and the reason why he is the discount for Daniel Craig, is that he really can't act that well.
Okay.
So the movie that Daniel Craig has out, we said that he's done a lot of decent films. What's his the movie that he's in right now?
What movie? Daniel Craig?
Yeah.
He's in I don't know.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh.
Cowboys and Aliens.
How could I not know that? How could I not like have that? Because I've been thinking about this
mm-hmm.
movie for 2 years. You know.
So
that.
And I really feel like by doing Cowboys and Aliens, he puts himself in the Jason Statham
yeah.
category.
Yeah.
I think he's
going to
go in that direction now. And so by default, that unfortunately makes Mr. Statham the discount Daniel Craig. And he is serving Daniel Craig at 70% discount.
So if you pay it for every $10 you give Daniel Craig, you give $7 to.
Yep. And I think, unfortunately, ooh. By Daniel Craig going to Cowboys and Aliens, he has kicked Jason Statham down a 5.6 inch notch. And that's our discount celebrity for today. It got philosophical.
It's very, very, I had to really think about that. That was very...
Thank you. I've been working on that today.
While we're here in Celebrity Corner, we'll go on over to our new segment, which is called This Week in Jason Bateman. Jason Bateman is an actor that we support.
We don't love him. We don't find him sexually attractive in any way, but we support him.
Because we like his work. It's decent.
It's decent on the scale.
The karate scale.
Yeah.
And I have a quote from him.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. Another pearl of wisdom from Jason Bateman.
And he says, people have often asked if I'm gay because I don't go out of my way to spit and scratch and give people attitude. Which, I'm cherry-picking the gay quotes from him because I just did it. I did one last week and now I'm
can
doing
I
it again.
Can I ask you, are there a lot of gay quotes?
I came across 2 out of 60. So, what does that tell you?
I don't know. That's a lot of talk about homosexuals when no one's asking him.
But
did anyone, was someone like, excuse me, Mr. Bateman, I'm from Logo TV.
Are you gay? And he says, oh, people ask me that all the time. And people, I guess, ask him. Because he doesn't spit or scratch and give people attitude. What do you think gay people do?
I have no idea. Apparently, they're very nice. In addition to being incredibly smart, they're very nice all the time. They swallow. And they wait to get home to scratch. I have no idea. Who is he trying to... What he's casting aspersions of all kinds all over the place.
Well, what he's doing is putting down the hetero, saying they spit and scratch and give people attitude.
I haven't seen anyone scratch and spit since I left Kent County, Maryland. And that was a farmer. This is bizarre.
Yeah, I guess I... Where's he... Where? Who is he hanging out with?
We actors.
Need a, we need a report from Jason Bateman.
Yeah, who are these awful heterosexual men that he's hanging out with who are scratching and chewing tobacco and spitting all over the place? And what's the other thing they do? They scratch and spit and...
And give people attitude.
And give attitude? Oh, someone sounds a little gay. Give attitude?
Yeah.
If he said give tood, comma tood, I would be like, Jason, come on. Come on out, my friend. Come on out. Wow.
But, yeah, this is something, you know, we're finding more and more about Jason Bateman, who we still support. No matter what we find out, we'll always
Support him. You know, it's unconditional. But I wonder, what does the gay community, how do they feel about Jason Bateman? Or do they even think about Jason Bateman?
I think they
If you think you're a member of the gay community and would like to speak for the entire community, please let us know. How do you feel about Jason Bateman, gay people? Not lesbians, gay men.
Yeah, send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah, and tell us what you think about Jason Bateman's compliments towards the gay community. Excellent.
Or is he as cute as a button? So.
Yeah. Or is he just given a pass? Because he's neat and cute.
Yeah.
Our next segment, and this is actually my favorite segment, is Advice on Advice, where we take a piece of advice that is unqualified, frankly, stinks. We critique it, and we give advice on that advice.
For better advice, hopefully. Yeah.
And we just want everyone to have good advice.
All right. This is this was advice on how to meet people. The question basically was, how do I go about making friends? How do I go about meeting people?
Okay. And who is this for?
This is for anybody.
Anyone. Okay.
Anyone if you want to make new friends. Especially, I guess it's kind of hard after college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have those built-in people in your same age group who are single and whatnot. So they give you several ideas in this article, and one of them is try out a few different ways to meet people until you find one that works for you.
Great. That's great advice already. Yeah,
that's really great. And then they said you have to have some tolerance of uncertainty and rejection. Remember that. You're going to get rejected.
As a friend.
Yeah, as a friend.
I want to see in my adult life someone being like, look, Katie, this friendship just not going to work out. That doesn't happen.
Nobody ever breaks it off right to your face.
Just stop talking to you.
They stop talking to you, or they kind of pull out of the relationship. You know another way you can make friends? Is through your friend, friends you already have, to meet other people to be your friends. So that's poaching friends off your friends.
Yeah, leave your friends be.
No, you can know them and be cordial to them, but if you're trying to snake your friends,
that's not cool.
Or your family's friends.
Mm-mm. Get your own
friends. For your own benefit.
You bum.
Do the work.
Yeah.
It's not a delivery service. I'm not coming to your house with my friends so you can be friends with that friend.
So far they're saying get ready to be rejected, but then go sneaking around your friends to try to sniff out some of their friends.
Right. And then, of course, the old standby, which is work.
Get a job
and try there. And if you work in a call center, you might have meet people to be friends with.
Does it say that?
Yeah.
This is from the 90s. If you work in a call center, you can meet people there. Have you ever worked in a call center? You don't want to be friends with anybody there. You want to go home after meeting your quota. Are you kidding?
Or go get a job in a restaurant, because after your shift, everybody goes out for a drink. And then you can be friends with them. So get a second job, work as a waiter or bartender, and you'll make friends. You know, the classes, go to a class.
Okay.
But sometimes you're so busy learning.
Yeah.
No time.
We've all been in classes where someone is clearly there to meet other people, and people can smell it, and they want nothing to do with that person.
They're like, I'm trying to learn PowerPoint.
Yeah, you don't even have a textbook, buddy. What are you doing here? I don't like those people. Take the class or take the class. And then if we end up being friends, that's one thing. But I want to find out years from now that someone was just taking a class to meet a friend.
Oh, my God.
Mm-mm. No. No, thanks.
And then join a frat or a sorority, which is, they're like, oh, but they're not for everyone. Yeah, they're not for everyone.
I thought this advice is, I mean, can you do that outside of college?
Get a fake ID, making you like 18.
And then Rush.
And then, you know, that would be the next Anna Faris movie, didn't she? She was like...
The House Bunny?
House Bunny.
Did anyone see that?
I saw that. I liked it. But, you know, she was a little older, but that's another thing. Be a little... Pretend you're younger so you can live there and make
I guess
friends.
You could buy beer for people. That's a good way to make friends. And in your Gamma Gamma Kappa or wherever you are.
I have something to offer people. So you're going to do favors for them, so then you endear yourself.
Those aren't friends.
No.
So this is terrible advice.
This is terrible advice. And one thing, what you need to do is, a lot of people think they can find friends in a bar or by going out drinking.
Mm-hmm. You can find a certain type of friend by going out drinking.
Yeah, you're not going to. What you need to do is find somebody who's sober. Mm-hmm. You need to go to an AA meeting because sober people need stuff to do. So it's not like you need someone specifically to that likes to do arts and crafts like you or likes to go horseback riding like you. You're just going to find a whole group of people who need to do something.
They need to stop drinking. They need a friend.
And also people who drink are usually hungover during the weekend, so they just want to sit on the couch. So you don't want that.
I think that this advice is not going to work because the person who's reading this is a putz. The advice should be stop being a putz. I have something to offer.
Have something to offer. Teach somebody.
If you don't have that, what are you supposed to do? Does it have any suggestions for things to offer?
Get a job at a restaurant. Things to offer. What are they saying here?
So they're assuming that if I'm the person reading, I'm unemployed.
Yeah.
I'm not taking any... I'm sitting at home, and I'm surprised I can't meet anyone, much like an African-American woman over 35. And I don't know why I can't meet anyone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
This is awful.
Yeah.
Where is this advice from?
Be helpful. It was just how to make friends.
.com?
Yeah. Right?
Did they try to sell you anything?
Oh, there's ads all over the place. But again, that's for the person, you know, on Friday night, trying to find friends.
All right, so I have a piece here for our next segment. This is a new segment called Hey, You Didn't Know It, wherein we try to find things that are in the news that give information that we can't believe that people didn't know.
Yes, we can't believe they did not know that this would be the outcome of their actions.
Yeah, so this one, right off the bat, the title alone was, really? You were not aware of this? You didn't know it? And it says, it's also from the Wall Street Journal, which I get all my, it's like my onion, the Wall Street Journal. The title is, Exiting Workers Are More Disgruntled.
So.
Yes, they are. You didn't know that?
So when someone loses their job, they're more disgruntled?
Yes.
Then what? Then
just more disgruntled in general. When someone's, this isn't just, it's not just losing a job. It's just, sometimes it's voluntarily leaving a job. Those people are also more disgruntled. And the problem with this is, it's not the workers that are surprised, it's the employer. Employers are shocked that people who are leaving their company are more disgruntled.
So
it says,
Go ahead. They're losing their livelihood, the ability to support themselves.
Well, no, these people are going on to another job.
Oh, okay.
So they're kind of like, F you, on the way out.
Oh,
they're moving on to better places. These are not for people who have gotten fired. Of course, they're disgruntled.
Okay, these are for people that are just leaving on their own accord.
I've never left a job with a smile on my face. Personally, I've never been fired. But every job I've had, you know, that I've left for the most part, I've been like, phew. Unless it was a freelance, it was like a short time, a gig or things when I was younger. But no, I'm like, I'm out. Went up to Board of Ed, see ya. I was more disgruntled. So apparently, more than 3/4 of departing employees say they wouldn't recommend their employers to others. The worst percentage in at least 5 years. I don't know how
nobody knew that this is what...
Yeah, this is a shock. Apparently, companies were blunt and rough and tumble with their workforce, and they created the sense that the company doesn't care about me. And now they're upset that people are disgruntled. The problem is that apparently these companies were hoping that these disgruntled employees would recommend that company to their friends.
To work at. So to get somebody else to be your HR department, mm-hmm. basically.
So not going through the HR process. So a company, Southwest Energy, the recruiters have decided that they're going to reach out to key alumni, they call them. These are people who have left the company. They're calling them alumni. Every 6 to 9 months to check in and see if they would return. And they also want to keep sending them the in-house employee magazine. It's over.
No.
Can you imagine?
That's the last thing you want to see in your mailbox.
You've left a company and every 6 months they're like, hey, Katie, how you doing? Would you think about coming back? No? We're going to send you a publication about what's going on in our company. Tell your friends. Yeah. No, I left you.
Remember when you were here, how it was?
Yeah.
We're going to remind you.
We just want to see, and would you like to come back and do it again? No. No, I have left the company. That's the whole point.
Is to be away from what was going on.
It's done. It's over. So I'm just surprised that First of all, someone discovered this.
And decided that it was newsworthy. Yeah, that it's an article in the paper.
It's news. Here it is. It's an article right here. Exiting workers are more disgruntled. And of course, because it's the Wall Street Journal, they have a chart here showing going up.
Get out.
That more people are disgruntled.
They did not put a chart.
So from 06 to this year, it has gone from about 45% to 75% of people are more disgruntled. Thank you very much for that, Joe Light of the Wall Street Journal. Riveting. Apparently he didn't know that, and neither did the employers.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
If one of my old jobs called me after I had left, I would have some choice words for them.
No kidding.
And their publication.
Oh my God.
Calling you an alumni?
That's nervy. Mm-hmm. That's a word we used to use a lot when I was a kid.
Nervy?
Nervy.
Yeah.
You're so nervy.
It takes balls. It takes balls. So, hey, they didn't know it. We knew it. We're not shocked by it. But I am shocked that, yes, that's a piece of news that was printed.
You know what happened? I went and got a slice of pizza at a place and paid for it with cash, and they gave me my change. Out of that, I gave them a 10, and the change that came back to me, two of those dollar bills...
Ripped?
Smelled.
Of what?
To high heaven, of ass. And I could smell them as he was handing them to me, and I looked at them, I'm like, it's those two that stink, and I went to take them.
Were there stink lines coming off of them like a cartoon?
I was like, I'm like, I said to him, that money smells. He's like, all money smells. I said, those $2 stink.
He knew they stink. He was trying to pass them off on you.
I said, you take them back and give me other dollar bills. And he was like, what? And I said, I'm not taking those dollars, and I want dollars that don't smell so bad. And he's like, oh.
Were they wet?
No, they were really wrinkled. It looked like they were wet and then they were dried, but they stunk like garbage, like diapers. Like,
oh,
I'm not. And you could smell it coming at you. It wasn't just like, wait, what's this smell now on my fingers?
It was preceded by a wave.
A wave. It came at me. And I said, take them back.
So would he put them back in the cash register?
He did.
That's funny. You know, like the scene in Independence Day when before the spaceships come down, there's a huge wave of smoke in front of them, and if I'm in the clouds, they don't know what it is. That's what I'm imagining with these $2 bills.
Oh, it was gross.
And I want no part of that. And I credit cards.
Yeah, don't hand me that. Make me eat my pizza that
way. No, he was handling your pizza.
Yeah. Oh, it's just vile.
We had an interesting piece of listener mail last week. We get tons of listener mail, and we try to respond to all the mail that we get, but it's not always possible, so we apologize. But we thought we should address this one live on air, as it were. And I say that because the piece of mail was regarding whether or not Hey You Know would ever do a live podcast.
Yeah, and the answer is...
Not anytime soon.
We
can barely get through these... not live podcasts.
Yes, and pre-record them and set them up.
However, it's something to consider. Maybe we should try it on our second birthday. Our birthday is coming up. Hey, you know it turns one on August 30th.
Yes.
We will be 1 year old.
Yeah, and just getting our baby teeth.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Hey, You Know It. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
We'll be back every single Monday. We're bringing it to you weekly, so you can look forward to a new episode of Hey You Know It every Monday morning.